Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Would you like to become the headline sponsor of the best fantasy football podcast on the planet next season? Would you like to be front and center on the Athletic FBL podcast to complement the general's amazing advice? Would you like to reach hundreds of thousands of highly engaged FPL players every month? Of course you would. Your brand can advertise with us now. Our skilled and charming commercial team are waiting to hear from you. Contact partnerships@theathletic.com. That's partnerships@theathletic.com.
The Athletic.
Hi folks, welcome to the final episode of the Athletic FPL podcast. I'm feeling emotional saying that. It's been an incredible journey. I started the 59th Minute podcast 5 years ago. The first episode was released on the 9th of January 2018. It was fun listening back to it this week. It's safe to say my podcasting skills have improved since then. When The Athletic entered the UK football market, they brought me on board to offer FPL advice to readers through articles, mailbags and Q&As initially. They then acquired the 59th Minute podcast in January 2020, and it subsequently became the Athletic FPL podcast, going from just a handful of listeners in those early days to number one in the UK football podcast charts on a couple of occasions has been amazing. There's some changes happening with The Athletic's audio offering, and there's no longer a home there for this FPL podcast. This hasn't come out of the blue. I was informed about the shakeup a couple of months ago, so I've had time to process it. We're hopeful that the podcast might return in the same format for a 2023-24 season, but if not, you will hear my voice weekly somewhere else. I'm going to use the upcoming international break to assess my options for the rest of this season, as I'd like to continue with the content to see out the campaign. A general doesn't leave the war before it's over. The troops need guidance. Keep an eye on my Twitter at FPL General for updates about future content. Now, there's a game week that needs previewing. I'm recording late on Wednesday nights after what was a great evening for most managers, with the likes of Tony, Solly March, Matoma and the defenders from Brentford and Brighton delivering the clean sheet points. It's a Friday deadline in FPL this week, 90 minutes before Nottingham Forest versus Newcastle kicks off. There's just 7 fixtures in Game Week 28, so it's a blank game week for some teams. Those teams that don't have a game are Man City, Man United, Liverpool, Brighton, West Ham and Fulham. On this episode, it'll be a quick review of Double Game Week 27. The watch list will be updated, 10 questions from Twitter, and we'll take a look at captaincy and transfers for the weekend. A quick review of Double Game Week 27. It wasn't looking too good before the Wednesday night games, but thankfully they went to plan. Banked the free transfer, so I've got 2 free transfers for 28, which we'll talk about later. Finished up in the 100 club, 105 points, a nice healthy green arrow from 180k, now at 110k. So the 1 million overall rank to 100k is almost complete. And we've got that top 50k in sight, which is my target. The only blanks in the game week were from Saka and Rashford's. The players who delivered, triple Brentford, Rea, Henry and Tony Captain. Stupinen, Solly March and Matoma got the points. Solly March should have had even more points, but that's been well covered on social media. I won't go into any more detail. And there was points as well for Trippier, Haaland and Harry Kane with his brace. Could have been an even better game week. I was mulling over the bench boost like a lot of people. Decided to wait until game week 29 for that one. And I left 26 points on my bench with Kepa, Gabriel from Arsenal, Odegaard on the score sheet and Fabian Scher. So the bench boost 29 is under a lot of pressure to deliver. Certainly probably won't get 26 points, but if I could get anywhere between 15 and 20, I would take that. Now, the final shoutouts of the season, unless you hear my voice somewhere else in the near future. Unfortunately, there's no new members since the last episode, and I skipped last week's podcast as well, so there was no shoutouts in Game Week 26. There was nothing in 27, but one name did pop out in Game Week 27, and I thought it was quite fitting for the last episode that this guy is getting a notable mention for 60 minutes, just about made it to 60. Luka Milivojevic at Crystal Palace. Those of you who listened last season will remember he's the only player since I started doing this podcast that got three 59th minute shoutouts in one season. He got the hat trick. We sent him a message. We invited him onto the podcast, and he did not reply. So good to see his name pop up for the final episode. Two players I want you to keep an eye on for the rest of the season for a possible hat trick. There's two players that have had two shoutouts this season. It's Cunha at Wolves and it's Mangala at Nottingham Forest. So make sure if you see those guys getting another 59th minute substitution to tag me in a tweet. A watch list update for you now. I'm basically just going to run through all 11 players that I've got currently watch listed because I haven't done this for a couple of game weeks. Just two defenders on there at the moment. Luke Shaw, who I lost on the wildcard and I may well bring back in for the double game week 29. So he's on my mind again. And also Chilwell, who I think is going to be a very popular transfer in this week with a good fixture for Chelsea and also the double game week to come. So Shaw and Chilwell I will be taking a look at closely this week and next game week. Midfielders on the watch list, Bruno Fernandes. Obviously no fixture for United in this game week, but once we get to game week 29, I think Bruno Fernandes is going to be a popular option again. And I'm going to try and keep him in mind as well and keep that, you know, with budget in particular, try and keep some budget to make it easy to get to Bruno Fernandes if I want to do so. James Maddison is another attractive pick this week and the double in 29. We know how good he's been as an FPL asset long term now. I don't think I've owned him this season, or if I have, it hasn't been for too many game weeks. So I would like to own him at some point between now and the end of the season. Again, Maddison a pretty good transfer in this week, I think. And the final midfielder on the watch list is McAllister at Brighton. I've got Matoma, I've got March, and I've got a Stupinen, but I can see myself owning McAllister at some point before game week 38 as well. Mostly forwards on the watch list, which I think is important this week because a lot of people are thinking about selling Mr. Haaland because he doesn't have a game and he's got Liverpool in 29. So the options I'm looking at if I end up doing that, Ollie Watkins at Aston Villa is on the watch list along with Havertz at Chelsea, Solanke at Bournemouth, Iheanacho at Leicester, Danny Ings and Ferguson. Although I'll probably remove Ferguson from the watch list following the midweek games because he didn't start that one. So in particular, I think Watkins and Havertz are very attractive this week because they've got the good fixture and they've got the double afterwards. Solanke, similar as well. I think Bournemouth have looked pretty decent going forward in recent game weeks and I've always kind of had a soft spot for Solanke. He's a budget-friendly option and in particular, his double game week fixtures are pretty good. Iheanacho, I'm not as high on because I'm always a bit fearful of rotation or early substitutions. So that's the watch list updated ahead of Game Week 28.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Time to answer some questions from Twitter now. The first two are linked, so I'll do them together. The first one's from FPL Rise. How many players do we need for the upcoming blank game week? So I always think in a blank game week, 8 always comes to mind for me. If you've got a good captain, if you've got most of the key assets who have good fixtures, if you've got 8 players, you can get through it. Ideally, you want 9 or 10, but certainly you don't need to go out of your way this week to get 11. I'm currently on 9. I've got 2 free transfers, but I might not even use both of them. I'm quite happy to play with 10 and have 2 free transfers for after the international break, just in case there's a few issues to deal with afterwards, because I want to play that bench boost in Game Week 29. So I'm looking at making 1 transfer, 10 players. That feels absolutely fine to me. If you've got 8, you've got 9, that's pretty good also. Question from FPL Brooklyn. Stick or twist with 5-goal Haaland? Brooklyn says, option 1, keep Haaland and play with 10 players this week. Or option 2, sell Haaland now so we can field 11, pick up a doubler and get him back in game week 30. So I was very much leaning towards selling Haaland this week before he scored the 5 goals midweek. It's just that little reminder that, you know, this is what I can do against anyone. I can do this against Liverpool in game week 29. So even going without Haaland for 1 game week feels scary to me. But I think when you can get an alternative player who has 3 fixtures in the next 2 game weeks when Haaland has just 1, I feel like we can risk it for 1 game week. And it does help slightly that it's Liverpool, it's not a Bournemouth or a Leeds or a team towards the bottom of the table. So I am leaning towards using my free transfer to sell Haaland for a striker with a good fixture this week who also has a double game week 29. And then straight away, give me 30, get Erling Haaland back in. Related question from Eric Ness Onstad. Who is the best forward with a game in 28 and a double in 29? Eric says he's going to wildcard out of it in game week 30. So much easier for Eric to do this if he's going to wildcard Haaland back in. Those of us who do sell Haaland this week, we've got to commit to getting him back in game week 30 regardless. Obviously, a few other things could crop up between now and then that we might need to deal with. But I think if we sell him, we don't go too long without him. We'll get him back around game week 30. So again, the options, most of these are on my watch list anyway. My first instinct was to go for Watkins. He's banging form. He's playing with a lot of confidence. And he's got Bournemouth at home this week, which I like. The double for Aston Villa is Chelsea and Leicester away, which is not great. But I just like a player playing with confidence, scoring goals, on penalties as well. So I like Watkins as a pick for his 3 games versus Haaland's 1. The other options, Havertz is quite tempting. Also, Chelsea have 3 home fixtures. They've got Everton at home this week. And then the double is Villa at home and Liverpool at home as well. I think he's looked really good in recent game weeks as well, putting up some good underlying numbers. Ivan Toney, who's already in my team, if you don't have him, he is an option, but very frustrating. He picked up that late yellow card on Wednesday night, which means he's on 9 yellows. If he gets 1 more, he's going to have a 2-match ban in the Premier League. So worst case scenario, if Toney gets booked in game week 28 against Leicester, he'll miss the double game week. And that's another reason why I want to have 2 frees after the break, just in case I need to deal with an Ivan Toney problem, and then I can make a more luxury transfer with a second free. So Ivan Toney, you probably don't buy him now because of the 9 yellows, but again, he's probably in most teams the way things are set up. I think I would go Watkins or Havertz now over Toney because of that yellow card concern. Solanke's fixtures are Villa away this week, and then 2 home fixtures in the double, Fulham and Brighton. I like that for attackers, so I do think Solanke's right up there in this short spell for the next 2 game weeks as a very good option. Iheanacho, again, not as high on him. Leicester play Brentford away, Palace away, Villa at home. And then you're kind of scraping the barrel a bit more for other options. Isak at Newcastle, I've seen a few talking about him. Scored a great header, but I'm always concerned about rotation with Wilson. I think Watkins and Havertz, Solanke, to me, those are just a little bit safer in terms of minutes. And then you've got Brennan Johnson and Nottingham Forest as well. But I think there might be a slight injury concern there. I need to double check that. But again, when it comes to Brennan Johnson versus Watkins, Havertz, Solanke, Toney, who I already own, he doesn't really get a look in for me. Question from FPL Jim: who are the best defenders to get for Game Week 28 besides Chilwell? So yeah, I think Chilwell's a very good transfer in this week. Alternatives to Chilwell, again, I would look at the teams we've been looking at all season, really, for defenders. Arsenal, if you don't have triple Arsenal ready, get yourself an Arsenal defender. They've got two good home fixtures coming up. They don't have a double, but they can easily outscore the double game week players with those two good home fixtures. Newcastle as well, they've got a good fixture away to Nottingham Forest. I say a good fixture, that's not an easy fixture nowadays, but you're still hopeful that the Newcastle guys could get a clean sheet there, and they've also got the double game week to come afterwards. So, you know, Trippier, if you don't have him, Fabian Scher, Botman, Dan Burn, they're all viable options. Trippier number one, Scher number two, Botman number three would be my order of preference. Matty Cash as well is an option. Villa have a good fixture this week and the double as well. So there's plenty of options out there. But yeah, certainly Chilwell is high on my radar. Question from Peter Vermas: already have Kepa and Chilwell. Is it worth bringing in Reece James as well for Estupinan? Triple Chelsea defence gives me a shiver down my spine. It's Graham Potter, it's rotation. I think two is definitely enough. I think even one Chelsea defender is enough, and I'm including Kepa in that as a defensive pick. Kepa and Chilwell as a double up sounds pretty good to me. I think triple up might be overkill, and I'm always a little bit reluctant to triple up on defences because you might want a Havertz later, you might want a Sterling later or a Mudrick or something, so just keep that door open. But if you want to just go after those clean sheets and you think there is going to be clean sheets, triple defence, if it comes in, you know, when it does come in, you know, you're looking 18 points minimum. Throw in a few bonus points, you're probably up to 22, 23 points. So, yeah, it's viable, but I do prefer keeping a Chelsea attacking spot open. Question from Shane FPL. Before I get to Shane's question, actually, Peter was saying to get Reece James in, it was for Estupinan. I've seen a few people are concerned about Estupinan for after the international break. A lot of us have him with bench boost in mind for double game week 29 or just in general for your starting 11. He's going to be travelling with his national team during the break, like a lot of people are, but he might be in Australia. Wherever he is anyway, he's going to be pretty far away. I think he's going to be back quite late, you know, maybe only a day or two before the first fixture of the double game week. So go have a look into that. See how you feel about the fixtures for Estupinan when he's away. Do you think he comes back straight back into the starting 11 when he's back? I'm not too concerned. I think I'm just going to ride it out with him, stick with him. I don't think it's worth a transfer to sell him. So yeah, I'm probably just going to leave it for now. And you would hope maybe in the press conference from De Zerbi in 2 weeks' time, you know, after that international break, De Zerbi's quite open in his presser, so he might just come out and say, Estupinan's, he's arrived back late, he hasn't trained or whatever. But unless there's very specific information, I'm just going to keep him and hope he does start both games. If he doesn't start the first one, it's not the end of the world, really. I don't think it's worth a transfer to lose him. Back to Shane's question, would you lose a Brighton midfielder or a defender for the upcoming blank game week? Shane currently has one defender and two midfielders. So my answer to this one is, if you've got, you know, 8, 9, 10 players this week, I would just keep all your Brighton guys because they do have the double the week after. And that's my plan. I'm going to keep all three, not going to lose any of them this game week. If you are feeling a bit light for this game week or you're concerned about Estupinan, I think I would lose him over a midfielder. You know, McAllister, Matoma, Solly March, they're all fantastic underpriced FPL picks playing for a brilliant attacking team. Keep those guys. If you really want to lose a Brighton player, I would lose Estupinan before the midfielders. Next question is from Switchblade. Is it worth selling an Arsenal defender for someone with a double game week in 29? I don't think so. This to me feels, it could be a bit of a trap. You're selling, you know, a very good defensive pick from a very good defensive side just for a doubler when Arsenal do have two good home fixtures. So I wouldn't do it. I would keep whoever you have. If it's Gabriel, if it's Ben White, Saliba, Zinchenko, I would keep those guys for Crystal Palace at home and Leeds at home. Question from Tacoma Toffee. Can you give us a suggested draft for those of us on a free hit this week? So those of you who are on a free hit, as always, I put this together in about 3.5 minutes. Didn't put a huge amount of thought into it. I'm pretty sure it comes in under budget because budget isn't really a concern this season. So just, I looked at the fixtures for this game week and this is roughly what I would do if I was on a free hit. Kepa, Chilwell double up. Go after that Chelsea clean sheet. Trippier would be in because he's a boss. Matty Cash in for a good fixture for Aston Villa. I think I'd go triple Arsenal midfield, Odegaard, Saka, Martinelli. Martinelli's been superb since a lot of us sold him, so I'd like to get him back for a one-week fling. Madison against Brentford would probably make it into my free hit squad. And then up front, you'd have Kane against Southampton, Havertz and Ollie Watkins. So that sounds like a pretty good free hit 11 to me. Kepa, Chilwell, Trippier, Cash, Odegaard, Saka, Martinelli, Madison, Kane, Havertz and Watkins. If you are free hitting this week, best of luck. Final question from FPL Doctor. How is parenthood going? Thanks for the non-FPL question. Parenthood is going very, very well. If you're listening to this podcast on Thursday, Sonny is now 2 weeks old and he is an absolute dream. Well, I say he's a dream. He's keeping us awake most nights, but he's absolutely brilliant. And it's been a roller coaster of a 2 weeks, but it's been absolutely fantastic. Loving every minute of it. And I had my first FPL parenting moment last weekend. Usually on a Saturday or a Sunday, I'm totally tuned in. I know exactly who's in my starting 11. I know who's on my bench. I know all that kind of stuff, and I'm checking it every 5 minutes. But last week, busy with a little man, just checked the scores kind of halfway through or three quarters of the way through the games. And I knew that I brought in Gabriel from Arsenal on the wildcard, and I seen that he scored and I was buzzing. And I jumped on the FPL website just to have a wee look at the bonus points to see how he was doing for bonus. And then the realization was he was my third sub on my bench. So again, being a parent is already changing my engagement levels with the game. And I'm sure plenty of you can relate to those kind of moments. So yes, those Gabriel points on the bench were very frustrating.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
On to captaincy for the game week. I don't think there's a huge amount of options. Obviously, we don't have City or Manchester United to choose from. Arsenal are at home to Crystal Palace. That's arguably the best fixture of the weekend. So your Sakas, your Odegaards, your Martinellis, all viable captaincy candidates. Harry Kane is away to Southampton. I think this is where I'm going to go with my armband for Game Week 28. Kane just feels kind of nice and safe. He's been ticking along all season. You know, if you offered me a goal and one bonus point now for my captain for Kane against Southampton, I would take it. A little bit harder kind of to target which Arsenal midfielder is going to do well. I've got Odegaard, I've got Saka, both options as well. So I'm going to wait up for a few days. Do I go Saka, Odegaard or Harry Kane? But it's on Kane at the moment and I think there's a very good chance it will stay there. Elsewhere, if you've got Chelsea assets, they're at home to Everton. If you go for Havertz, maybe a captaincy punt there if you're trying to make up ground or catch someone in your mini league. But certainly, I wouldn't look past Arsenal attackers or Harry Kane for the armband this game week. Transfers for the weekends. I mentioned this earlier. 9 players currently for Game Week 28. 2 free transfers, but I want to have 2 for after the international break. a lot can happen during an international break. So I want to have that flexibility afterwards to make sure my Bench Boost 29 is strong. So I'm probably just going to make one transfer this week. The players in my squad that don't have a fixture are Rashford, three Brighton players, and Haaland. I don't want to sell Rashford. I don't want to sell the Brighton guys because they all have the Dublin 29. So by process of elimination, I think for my squad, it makes the most sense to sell Haaland, get a 3-for-1, get someone who's got three fixtures versus Haaland's one for the next two game weeks, and then go back to the Norwegian. So Watkins is winning the race at the moment. I'm going to give Havertz some more consideration. I don't think I'm going to go Iheanacho, just a bit fearful of Brendan Rodgers. And Solanke, I am going to give Solanke plenty of thought as well as a short-term punt. So currently my order is Watkins 1, Havertz 2, and Solanke 3. I'm looking forward to checking out a few more FPL podcasts this week and YouTubes as well, just to, you know, harness a few opinions and gather my own thoughts on where I want to go with that striker position. That is it for the Athletic FPL podcast. I'm holding back the tears. I've got the tissues beside me. I want to say a massive thank you to you, the listener, whether you've been with me since day one, way back 5 years ago, or whether you've just been with me for a couple of episodes. My commiserations if this is your first episode. You might want to go back and listen to a few of the old ones, although that doesn't make much sense when it comes to FPL. But yes, just a massive thank you to all of you who have been on this journey with me. It's been absolutely incredible. It's not the end. This is not the end. I'm a big believer of when one door closes, another door opens. I've already had a lot of emails from people, WhatsApp messages are coming through from people, from other companies, all that kind of stuff. So we'll see what happens. In an ideal world, I've really enjoyed my time with The Athletic, and I'm hopeful maybe I might just go out on a loan deal for the rest of the season and come back to The Athletic next season. But we will figure all that out during the international break. So don't worry, I am not going anywhere. You will have me in your ears in the near future. Like I said, I want to finish out this season if you've been with me since the start. So thank you to the listener. And again, thank you to The Athletic for allowing me to live my dream over the last couple of seasons. You know, they've played a big part in that and they've been very, very good to me. I know a few people were asking me or, you know, complaining about The Athletic hanging me out to dry. Absolutely not the case. I've had plenty of notice. These things happen. Things change. But when there's change, there's also opportunity. So we'll take the positives and we'll see what the future holds. Talk to you soon. And best of luck for Game Week 28.
The Athletic.